I do want to give a praise report. Lennox is out of the hospital and home, y'all. Yes, he's doing so much better. He's still a little weak because he was in there for quite a while. And I seen Hope Monday, and that's his mom. And she said he's still a little weak because laying in bed for 10 to 15 days, that baby went 10 days without eating. And he is only 3 years old, y'all. So he's still a little weak, but he is home, and he is getting better and doing way better. So, yay, go God, thank you. And prayer request. Miranda and Stephen Lloyd's young daughter, Emily, was med-flighted to Children's. She's fighting ear infection, RSV, and pneumonia. And then if we could just keep my daughter in love, Amy Lovell, and my son, Justin, in your prayers. They're expecting in August or September. I'm so happy because he had told me not too long ago. He said, Mom, he said, Nat's 18. Ezra is 16. They're almost grown. I don't think we want to have a baby. Okay, son. You know, if it's your decision, and I support you, whatever you do and decide. But God had better plans. Mm-hmm.
She had plenty of time to forget.
Yeah.
All right, let's take these before the Lord. How we rejoice of this one who's gotten to go home from the hospital. And we do know that there is still recovery that needs to happen. Just because you're out of the hospital doesn't mean that things are all back to normal. So we just pray for strength and for growth in this young one who's spent some time in the hospital and has not eaten, and I'm sure lost weight and lost strength and all these things. Lord, just pray that you would heal this young one's body and bring him back to full health as soon as possible, Lord, so that mom and dad and this little one can be back to normal. We pray also for this one who's had to be med-flighted to OU Children's, Lord. Pray for mom and dad. I know that they're scared. These things are, it's never easy to watch a child, your child suffer, and you feel hopeless and helpless, and there's nothing you can do. And I just pray for mom and dad. You give them a sense of your presence and your peace, Lord, that they would trust you. Let's pray for the doctors who are attending to this little one. They would know exactly what needs to be done. They would know exactly what treatments and what medications and whatever else needs to be done so that this child can be returned to full health soon. Just pray that, even in whatever way possible, she would understand that people there that love her and are caring for her and help her, trying to help her get better. I know that little ones don't always understand everything that's going on around them and can be scared. We just pray that you'd help her just to trust you as well in her own little way. And just thankful for this new life that's on the way also, Lord. We've been talking about that this morning. We want to celebrate that the good news of new life. Just pray that you would bless this new one and mom and baby both be healthy and everything would be fine as far as that goes, that there would be no complications, no issues, no anything like that, God. But we just trust mom and baby both to you and just look forward to rejoicing when this new one arrives in a few months. God, I just thank you again for your good hand on us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. A GLOW meeting beyond game changers. Tomorrow, Thursday, February 22nd, 6 p.m., Janice's Home Cooking. 2103 South Main, Suite A, Elk City, Oklahoma. For more information, you can call Lauren L. Hayes at 580-515-5608. And if you are in the Elk City, Burns Flat, or Deal City area and you would like to go, however you don't have a ride or you're in need of a ride, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. My phone number is 469-388-9729. I would be more than happy to come by, pick you up, and take you back home safely.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
The Refuge Church is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10. Sunday worship is at 10:45. Sunday evening prayer is at 5. Sunday evening Bible study at 6. Wednesday Bible study at 7. Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Jason Holland. His title is What God Values. Before we get back into your message, would you like to share your service times and any announcements for your church?
You bet. We meet in Cheyenne at 608 East Broadway is the address, but if you just go to the stop sign in the middle of town and go east, you can't miss it. We're on top of the hill. We meet Sunday mornings for Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 10:50, Sunday evenings prayer meeting at 5:30, and then discipleship classes at 6. And then on Wednesday evenings, we have our kids programs. Club Kick for kindergarten through our pre-K through 6th grade is at 5:30, and our youth meet at 5:30 as well, and they meet in the family center. I do want to make one plug, though. We have upcoming a revival starting on March 10th. That Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Monday evening, and Tuesday evening, and then Wednesday evening, the preacher will be sharing with our youth group on that Wednesday evening. But it is the young man's name is Nate Croft, and he will be here to share with those from the Lord from the Book of Ephesians in just a few weeks. So that's starting March 10th. That Sunday morning, he'll be with us for a series of services. Well, let's get back to it. We left off, we've seen that God wants us to value the creation of life, and we see that God wants us to value the providing for of life, just making sure that we take care of what God has assigned to us. Now we see that God is valuing protecting life. So why do we as humans, why do we as people value protecting life? What is it that makes human life something that we want to protect? Well, one reason is because God values protecting human life. Human life is precious to God. God values it. If you notice in our text this morning, there are 3 times that God says that he personally will require an accounting for somebody who takes a life. 3 times in 2 verses. He says, I will require, I will require, I will require. God will demand an accounting for how we protect life, how we care about life. He doesn't treat the taking of life lightly, and he will personally, God personally, will demand an accounting. And this accounting does include capital punishment. Those found guilty of murder face the most severe action that can be taken. You can't do anything more than kill someone. Now, you can't do anything more than take that person's life. Now, interestingly, while God says, I will demand an accounting of those who take a life, He's not the one who's himself putting murderers to death. He's asking us to do that because he wants us to see the value of life. And he wants us to recognize the gravity of taking a life. And this is one of the reasons why we, you know, one of the reasons why we have governments, so that we aren't just running around as vigilantes. We get together and we do the best we can to make sure that justice is carried out. We are sinners, and so justice is often delayed or denied. But this is the idea, is that we get together and we want to see justice carried out as a group. And so God values life. God protects life, and he expects us to do the same thing because of those reasons, because God values life and because God values the protection of life. We ought to as well. But probably even more importantly, of course, we want to value what God values, and God values life, but perhaps even more importantly, we value life. We value the protection of life because man is made in God's image. Humans are image bearers. From the instant of conception, we are in image bearers. Is it wrong to murder somebody because it harms society? Yes. Is it wrong to murder somebody because it robs a person of their future? Yes. Is it wrong to murder somebody because it robs a family of someone that they love? Yes. Each of those things, though, ultimately falls short of the larger point. So let me put it to you this way. If I went to Oklahoma City, downtown Oklahoma City, and I found a homeless person, this person has no real future. They're on the street. They've been on the street for years. They've got no hope of getting off the street. They have no family that loves them. Nobody cares about them. Nobody knows where they are or what they're doing. They're not a benefit to society. In fact, they're probably a drain on society's resources. Why would it be wrong for me to kill that person? What argument from a human standpoint is there against me killing that person? Because that person is made in God's image. That person, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of what they're like, regardless of everything, they're a valuable person because they are created in God's image. It has nothing to do with the fact that they are a benefit to society. It has nothing to do with the fact that they have a family that loves them or doesn't love them. It's because they are created in God's image. This is why we value life. This is something that the humanistic way of looking at the world can't account for. We punish murderers as a society, but if you really drill down, we don't have a solid reason other to say why, other than, well, it has these consequences. Well, yes, but why would it be? I mean, if I went and killed a homeless person, I would still get arrested. I would still go to jail. Why? It's because we as a race, even if we won't admit it out loud, we know deep down that every person is valuable because they're created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And so murder is not wrong for any of those other reasons. It's wrong because people are created in the image of God. And therefore, to kill somebody is to take a strike at the very image of God. It's to try to eliminate the image of God. Okay, this is why murder is so wrong, so forcefully treated in the Bible and in society. We take serious steps because it's a serious crime. Humanity has value over other creatures because we alone bear the image of God. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm driving down the highway and I hit somebody's dog, I'm going to be a little sad, and those people are going to be sad. But I'm not going to lose much sleep over that. It's a dog, you know? And even if it was my dog, I'd be sad for a little while, but I would eventually get over it. If it was my child or if it was a human, it would wreck me for a long time, mm-hmm. because that person bears the image of God. In July of 1981, a little boy named Adam Walsh and his mom went to a Sears store. Mom wanted to look at a lamp that was on sale. And so she left Adam at a kiosk watching some other boys play Atari. There were several boys there, and they were playing Atari. And so Mom went to look at a lamp. When she came back, Adam was gone. She couldn't find him. And so she asked the security guard if he knew what happened. And he said, yeah, there was some of the boys were having an argument, having a little tussle over who was going to play next. And so I just ran the boys out. I told them they need to get out of here. Because they're, you know, the most of them, their parents weren't there. They just come to play the novelty video game. And so Mom thinks, hey, maybe he just was, he's 6 years old. He's afraid to speak up and didn't want to tell the security guard that, hey, my mom's in the store. Can you help me find her? And so he just went outside with the other boys. Went outside a different door. Then he and his mom had come in, maybe got confused and was wandering around. So they spent 90 minutes searching the mall, searching the parking lots, paging him. Nothing. Couldn't find him. He was just gone, vanished into thin air. They searched until 2 weeks later. Part of Adam's remains were found 130 miles away. He'd been abducted and killed. And so as a result of this, Adam's dad, John Walsh, became a man who is driven by the need to see justice done. He was absolutely a man possessed by the need to see justice done for those who had been victims of crime. And so, starting in 1983 and again in 84 and 85, there was a TV movie called Adam that played. It was the story of Adam and how he had been abducted and kidnapped and killed. And at the end of this on CBS, they would show pictures of people who were missing. They showed 55 people, and ultimately 13 of those 55 children that were shown were reunited with their families. I mean, there's still obviously 40-plus that didn't, but those 13 are success stories. And so John is driven by this desire to see justice done, to see families reunited. He later hosted the TV series America's Most Wanted. I remember watching America's Most Wanted as a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I knew as a kid why John Walsh was hosting this show, but he was driven to make sure these criminals. So they would tell these stories of these true crimes, and they would show the pictures of the person that's wanted for this crime so that people could recognize him and say, hey, police, I saw this guy. I know where he's at. I know what his van looks like, you know, whatever it is. And they'll be able to find these criminals. And so John, I mean, just continue working. He's also responsible for some legislation that got passed. He wasn't a congressman himself, but he pushed and pushed and pushed to see certain legislation passed. The Missing Children's Assistance Act, the Adam Walsh Child Protection and Safety Act, both are in place now because John Walsh was driven by this need to get justice for those who've been victims of violent crime. Also, if you go to Walmart and you see the little sticker on the door that says Code Adam, that's from Adam Walsh and his dad pushing hard to work for alerts and systems in place when a child goes missing so we can alert people and get a message out that people can be on the lookout. He's driven, John Walsh driven. So now let me ask this question. Why was John Walsh so driven to make sure that justice got done? Well, it wasn't because a child got kidnapped and murdered. I mean, his son, unfortunately, wasn't the first and hasn't been the last that was kidnapped and murdered. Why was John Walsh so driven? It's because it was his son that was murdered. It was his image bearer that was killed. It was the one that he created, the one that he loved. And so, why is God so concerned with the killing of humans? Why is God so driven to see justice accomplished? Because we are his image bearers. We are the ones that he created. We are the ones that he loves. I mean, just think of the desire for justice, the demand for a good outcome from John Walsh, and just multiply that a billion, trillion times over in the pure heart of God, desiring to see his children protected, desiring to see justice done. This is the heart of God, to see his people cared for, to see his people provided for, to see his people protected. If we can recognize this in a human father, how much more should the Heavenly Father's heart be on display? And yes, the penalty for taking a life is giving a life. But that's because of the value of life is so high, and because God values it that highly. And so, you know, how does God most expressly display the value of life and the demand for justice? We have both of these things. God demands justice, but he also shows this immense value for life. He provided a way that both could happen. In Jesus, we see the one who willingly stepped into death row in our place. He was condemned to die in my place. He knew that we were doomed to die as convicted sinners, and yet in love, he substituted himself in our place. The value of God for life is that, hey, he valued my life so much that he willingly died in my place. And yet we also see the full wrath of God satisfied in this. Those who deserved the just sentence, that their sentence has been paid. Their justice has been accomplished. It just dodged them and hit Jesus instead. When he was on the cross, the full weight of God's wrath towards me was poured out on Jesus. Everything that I deserve, all the justice that I deserve, went on Jesus' shoulders. And so one of my favorite lines in any hymn that's ever been written is in the third verse of It Is Well With My Soul. It says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Justice has been accomplished, and so has mercy. Both of them happening at the same moment in Jesus. My sin, not in part, but the whole, nailed to the cross. And not just nailed to the cross, nailed through the hands and the feet of Jesus in my place. So, Christian, your mercy has been accomplished in Christ, and justice for your sins has been accomplished in Christ. So how do we live in light of this? Well, we just rejoice in the mercy of God towards sinners. Sometimes we just need to stop and say, God, I deserve to be the one that was nailed to that cross. Thank you for sparing me. Rejoice in the mercy of God towards sinners. Something else we can do is, in some ways, like John Walsh, pursue justice. Don't become jaded or cynical about the world and how bad it can get. Pursue justice. Work hard to see that the right is done. And we do help those who have been victims. Christians of all people ought to take seriously the taking of life. Even devaluing of life ought to be a huge concern for us. Mm-hmm. The way that people are devalued. One of the ways we can do that is by valuing the most vulnerable among us. Often there are groups, marginalized people that are devalued, or people just don't give much thought to them at all. One of those we talked about a little while ago, the unborn. We give value to them. We value the most vulnerable, the handicapped, who so often are seen as a hindrance or a nuisance or less than. We value them because they're image bearers. The unwanted. You know, there are people, groups around the world who are unwanted. They're society's outcasts, whether it's the lower castes in India or the gypsies in Europe. We have groups that are just less than. We've seen that here in our own country before with the history of racism and slavery and things like that. The unwanted, we love them because they're created in God's image. The abused and the mistreated, we love them. We care for them. We value them. We protect their lives because God values them and he's created them in his image. We also value those, we value the life of, we protect the life of those who are hard to love. As Christians, we believe certain things about the world and how we ought to live. One of those things is to do with our sexuality and our bodies. It's easy for us to look at a world that is awash in a mess of broken sexuality and look down our noses at people and to devalue them or see them as subhuman in some way. What we need to do is affirm the dignity of the image of God in that person. We don't have to affirm the choices that they have made. We don't have to celebrate what they celebrate, but we can affirm the dignity of God in that person as a human who's an image bearer. People that can be hard to love. Another group is immigrants. Simply because someone entered the country illegally does not devalue their life. It does not make them less than human. It doesn't make them anything other than an image bearer. They ought to be treated humanely as image bearers. They should not be treated like pawns in some cheap political game being shipped here and there to score cheap points. They're image bearers of God, and they deserve to be treated as such. Another group that we have a hard time sometimes loving are criminals. You know, we want justice done, and sometimes criminals deserve the judgment that they get. Hopefully they do deserve the judgment that they get. They punish. They may even lose their life and die for their crimes. But they are simply not less than human. They are image bearers created in God's image. It should not ever be celebrated if somebody is executed. Capital punishment is not a cause of celebration. Mm-hmm. It's a sign that we live in a broken and fallen world. It is a sign. Is it necessary at times? Yes. But it's not to be celebrated. It's a sign of a broken world. The same could be said of national enemies. We think about going to war. sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it has to happen. You want to intervene to protect life, or somebody is doing some horrible things and you've got to go in and try to stop it. There may be a time when deadly force is necessary, but again, it's never something to be celebrated. The people who are dying on both sides, the people who are dying are image bearers. Those people are image bearers, and they deserve to be loved and protected, and it's not something to be celebrated. They may have been justly killed, but that again is a symptom of living in a broken world that, as we see in the New Testament, is groaning for relief. The world that is just broken and groaning for relief. The relief that's only going to come when Christ returns and sets things right once again. Human life is the most valuable thing on earth. There is nothing on earth that is even in the universe of being as valuable as human life. So let's live our lives in such a way that we line up with this reality. Let's live our lives in such a way that we demonstrate to a watching world that there is no person that doesn't have value or dignity. And let's line up our lives with what the Bible teaches about human dignity. And honor the image of God in every single man, woman, and child conceived from the moment of conception and on. We honor the image of God in every single person. So let me pray for us as we close this morning. Lord, it's once again a joy just to consider your word. It's a joy to think about how we relate to you and to one another. I just pray that we would be a people who value the creating of life, we value the providing for life, and we value protecting life. And may it be so of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was a good word. We appreciate you coming and joining us.
I enjoy it. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Jason Holland, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.